We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." As we know, they're referring to Jesus. "And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" And while the scripture that I want you to see, and I want to preach on this next phrase. "And while he opened to us the scriptures." And while he opened to us the scriptures. Now, I want to preach tonight, by the help of the Lord, just using that phrase that I pointed out to you there in verse 32. And we know this was the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as Jesus was walking with them after his resurrection, and they did not recognize him or know who he was, and they were down very sad, very low at that time, because they were suspecting Jesus was going to be the one who was going to come and deliver them from Roman bondage. So now he has been crucified. Now he is dead. Those dreams and those hopes will never be enjoyed. And so they were talking with Jesus, not knowing who he was. And here, as we see here, where we started reading at tonight, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them," or Jesus expounded unto them, "all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us when he," Jesus, "talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And tonight, and Albert was touching on it here, and really Albert said something a couple services ago when he was here in the pulpit opening the service that really got me thinking about this message. And he said something about the value of the Word of God, how valuable that the Word of God is, and how very important it is that we be students of the Word, that we read the Word, that we study the Word. And so I got to thinking about that and got this message on my heart. And I guess the question would be, what is the benefits of reading the Bible through in a year? What's that? You know, this is probably a message that probably been a good New Year's Eve message, I guess. But I think the importance, because if you've been coming here, since I've been here, since you've been coming, I hope that one thing that you have discovered about me, that is how valuable, important that I feel like that it is for every one of us and to read and study the Word of God. That the Word of God is very, very important in your life as a Christian. That you, it's not a book to just open up on church day, but it's a book and lay on your coffee table, but it is something to be read and studied every day. And so maybe some of you I know some of you last year, we challenged the church, and I know myself and some of you all did, that you read the Bible through. Probably wasn't the first time that you did it, but you did, and I'm sure maybe doing it again this year. But what I want us to see right here, I want us to see the importance, the emphasis here. I want us to see this tonight of daily Bible reading. I want us to understand that. I want us to see that. And I don't know how, I guess they have people read it through, or maybe somebody's smart enough to know how to do that. But somebody says, and I guess this is probably true, somebody says it takes 72 hours to read the Old Testament through. Somebody says that it takes 18 hours to read the New Testament through. So if my math is correct, that's 90 hours. That's 90 hours that it would take to, if you sit down in one reading and read it through, or if you did it day by day, that's how long that it would take. So 90 hours, and if my math is right before I came to church when I calculated it, that's 90 hours out of 8,760 hours in a year. There's 8,760 hours in a year. And so if you would just say the tenth of your time, or a tithe of your time, would be 876 hours. So that's not too much. That's just a little bit of time. 876 hours is really the tenth. Not only does God ask for a tenth of your money, but He asked a tenth of your time and tenth of other things. So it falls well in that, with a lot of time left over. So that is what I want you to see. Somebody said, "Man, it takes so long to read." But when you look at it, it don't. But the Bible is given to us in two basic ways. And those two basic ways is, it's given to us in principles, and it's also given to us in facts. You have those two basic ways that the Word of God is given to us, is principles and fact. In other words, in the story of David and Goliath, that just right on the surface of that story, you can pick out 50 or 60 facts. I mean, they're very easy. They're just right there on the top of it. And so you all pick up, it's a young boy against a big giant. A young boy didn't have no armor. He just had a slingshot. And the big old giant. And so you see what I'm saying. Facts. You the first time you read it, you gather a lot of facts, and then you hear it again. Maybe you read it several times, you pick up more facts, and then maybe you hear your Sunday school teacher teach on it, and some more facts pops out to you. Maybe you hear a sermon on it, and so more facts jumps out at you. And so it happens, and then that we'll know most of the facts from memory. I'll probably go around here tonight and ask you, and it's hard to tell how many times we could go around the congregation tonight and just ask you to give a fact about that, and we can give facts because they're embedded in our memories. We have those facts about David and Goliath. But then, not just the facts, but then there's a principle in that story also. And there's a principle in that account of David and Goliath. And that principle is that a little nobody with not much to offer, with God's help and God's blessings, can handle a big old situation problem in our life tonight. And that's the principle that we get from that. And applies to every one of us. As long as you've got God on your side, as long you may have a big problem, you may have a big situation, you may have something big to deal with, but if you've got God's blessings and God's help upon it, you can be victorious. So that's the principle that you gather out, that story about David and Goliath. So every time that you're exposed to that story, that principle will be more and more embedded in your mind. That that no matter what I face in life, no matter how impossible that looks, no matter how hopeless the situation looks, and looks like I'm not going to win, that all the odds are against me, that as long as I have God's blessing and God's power on my life, then I can conquer. I can be victorious. I can and do that. And so this is what we want you to see. So when we come to that problem time in our lives, and we'll think about David's impossible situation and the great victory. It was impossible in man's eyes. There ain't no way the little boy could kill that giant that was defying the whole armies of Israel. That's impossible with man. And every time we hear that, and we hear about that impossible situation, but we hear about the great victory that David took that slingshot and turned it loose and the giant fell, we'll take courage and face our problems and get victory. That's the principle that we get from that story. And so the Bible is given to us in facts and principles. And every time you hear that, you say, boy, I'm never hopeless. I'm never find myself in a situation in life where that I'm the loser. God can give victory, and so we become spiritual by becoming scriptural. Did you hear what I'm saying? We become spiritual by becoming scriptural. Now, the more scriptural we are, the more spiritual we are. Now, that is very simple. You're not going to be spiritual if you're not scriptural. If you don't know the Word and study the Word and have the Word of God in your heart, then you can't be spiritual. In order to be spiritual, you've got to be scriptural. And so here, I want us to see that this book right here, there's no other book like it. This book contains everything that you might want to read about. There's nothing under the sun that you could think I want to read about that you couldn't find it recorded in the Word of God. It's filled with history. It's filled with geography. It's filled with science. It's filled with engineering. It's filled with music. It's filled with philosophy and prophecy and poetry. It's filled with sufferings, and it's filled with warnings and direction and encouragement and examples, and it covers all the conceivable areas of human knowledge and human experience. You can find it right here in the back of this, between these red back book. And so here is, we see, the Bible is a masterpiece on social problems. The Bible is a masterpiece on economic issues. The Bible is a masterpiece when it comes to domestic issues, when it comes to foreign relation, when it comes to emotional disorder, when it comes to mental disturbance, when it comes to physical health, when it comes to financial management and spiritual victory. This book is a master on those things. This book contains the solution for all those things. The Bible has the answer to the crime problem. You know, the government can't figure it out, but the answer is in the Word of God. The Word of God has the answer to the divorce tragedy. The Word of God has the answer to this moral decay and moral slide that we have in our country today. The Bible has the answer to the liberal shift. The Bible has the answer to the pornography. that is going on, that has spread on the internets and Facebooks and all these kind of electronic devices. Not only that, but it has all about the answer to the world energy problem. The Bible has the answer to the world hungry problem. The Bible has the answer to the pollution and all these kind of things. The alcohol plague. The drug condition that we have in our country. That is, and even the Word of God has the answer to the terror threats that we face in this world. And so this, I think you have got by now that I'm trying to say this is a very, very valuable book. That this book has the answer not just to one specific issue, but any issue that you would ever want to know about. You can find the answers to that issue here in the Word of God. Where do I look when I want to know about heaven? Where do I look when I want to find out about hell? In the Word of God. Where do I look whenever I want to know when the millennial, what's a millennial going to be? Where do I look whenever I want to know how this old world's going to come to an end? I know how this world's going to end. How do you know how it's going to end? I know exactly because the Word of God tells us just exactly how that it's going to end. And so the Bible is the only reliable insight on these issues and these subjects. And there was a song that one of the verses says something like this. One of the verses says, how do we find out what is right from wrong? How get the power to make us strong? How grow our faith from a tiny seed? Open the Bible and read. Now the promise, the prophet Amos, he's the one said, how could we two walk together except they agree? But the prophet Amos said in Amos chapter 3 and verse 10, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord. For they know not to do right. Now he did not say they did not want to do right. He did not say that they did not intend to do right. But what he said right here was that they did not know what was right. And because of that, it cost them very dearly. They didn't know what was right. They didn't know right from wrong. And what was the price that they paid? By not knowing what's right and what's wrong. Boy, don't that sound like our country tonight? Don't know what's right and what's wrong. And so their houses were spoiled. All their integrity, all their character, all their decencies and all their morals were stolen by the adversary. And they were like, as the Bible said, there in the book of Amos, they were like a lamb that had been mangled by a lion. And that was left where all the thing that was left were two lambs and a piece of the ear. What a sad state, because they did not know what was right. They didn't know right from wrong. And it cost them very dearly. It's not what I think is right. That's never the issue, whether you think it's right or not. It's not up to public opinion what is right. It's not how I feel about it, whether it makes it right or not, or what some learned theologian says about it. That's not what matters. It's what the Bible says about it. If you have an issue that you want to know whether it's right or wrong or not, it's not what somebody might tell you, but what does the Word of God say about it? And so with saying that is, the Bible tells us that God is right, and the Bible tells us that the Bible is right. It's correct. You can believe it. So I must get into the Bible and find out what's right, and I too will be right. It's one of the real reasons, the importance of the Word of God. You don't have to wonder whether something's right or not. And so if I do this, I'll be able to think right. If I do this, then I'll do right in a right way at the right time for the right reason with some enthusiasm. When I know that the Word of God says it's right and it's okay to do, then I can do that with enthusiasm and know that God would be pleased with that and know that God would be pleased. And so what will it do for me if I read my Bible? What will it do for me if I get in that Bible and stay in it every day? Well, let me give you seven things tonight, and I'm not going to spend a long time on them. I thought, my goodness, Brother Bob this morning, he sung for and preached, still got us out here quicker than I do, so I'm gonna take some pointers from these fellas. But anyway, I want us to see something right here. The first thing it'll do for you, it will result in prosperity. It will result in prosperity. Now, prosperity is promised over and over in the Word of God. For those, he says, prosperity is promised for those who understand the Word of God and those who obey the teachings that are brought forth in the Word of God. Now, however, this promised prosperity here covers a whole lot more than just money and finances. Now, there's a whole lot more way to prosper than just in money and finances. And so he says here, success and prosperity. It will come in the spiritual realm. It'll come in the physical realm. It'll come in the social realm. It'll come in the emotional realm and the mental realm, and so the domestic realm, and also with the financial areas of life. The Lord, and whether you believe it or not, and whether you know it or not today, God's will is for His people to prosper. God wants you as His child to prosper, not just financially, not just in money-wise, but in so much more ways, and we'll look at them right here just in a minute, that God wants you to prosper as His child. And first one is, looking 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In other words, he says that God's will here is, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Well, I thank God for my health, don't you? Your health means a lot. Your health is something that that is so important to you. And he says, as your soul prospers. He said, I don't want you to just be one-sided. I don't want you to just be one way and just prosper in health in these ways. But he said, I also want you to prosper spiritually. I want you to grow spiritually. And he says, as your soul prospers, I want you also to prosper health-wise. And so there's a hint here of at least three areas of prosperity in this one verse. He touches on the financial. He touches on the physical, and he touches on the spiritual. And so in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, there's that word, prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Get in the Word of God, he says. Meditate on the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Observe. Be obedient to what's written therein. And he says that God will prosper your way. Deuteronomy 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. He says in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whatsoever thou turnest thyself. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things wherein I sent it. Psalms 1, 2, and 3. But his delight in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Obeying the Word of God. Thinking on the Word of God. That God may prosper you. 1 Timothy 1, 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instructions in righteousness. James 1, 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not forgetful hearers, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Why? A lot of people maybe. I'm no judge. But maybe, just maybe, why? That a lot of Christians are not prospering, not just financially or those were, but physically, emotionally, in health and all those ways, might be because they avoid the Word of God. It might be because that they don't make the Word of God a part of their lives. It may be that they don't read the Word of God, study the Word of God. And so, if I believe John 3:16, then I believe this right here. I believe that God will prosper you if you will study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, obey the Word of God. And then, the second thing that it'll do for you, it will develop and build faith to get in the book. Oh, preacher, my faith is so weak. Oh, I don't have much faith. Look what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Many in this day are basing their faith on experience. Oh, I had this experience or that experience, and that's what they're basing their faith on. And it's not safe to build your faith on feelings or something that happened to us. That's not a safe practice. That's not a good ideal, to build your faith on some kind of a feeling you had or some kind of experience that you had. Because listen, the devil is very, very subtle. The devil is very trickery. The devil is very deceptive. And he has led multitudes of people away and got them on the wrong path through feelings. The great D.L. Moody said this right here. And I think this is about where 95% of Christian people live. D.L. Moody said, for years I prayed for faith. I thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like a bolt of lightning. But faith did not seem to come. And then one day I read Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.